The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn joined today on the line by Catherine Fry to look ahead to the best of the action on Saturday. And what a Saturday we have in store. The flat is back from Doncaster. The William Hill Lincoln, of course, the feature race. And a really, really good card to look forward to. And hopefully we can point you in the direction of a winner or two. How are you, Catherine?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Alex.
Good. It is good to see the flat back, isn't it? I mean, I know that we all love jumps racing, we love Cheltenham, but it's nice to just have a bit of variety every now and again, isn't it?
No, it is, yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, being born in Cheltenham and living in Cheltenham, you know, you sort of, your life's kind of focused on jump racing, but I do enjoy the flat, and I do follow the flat, so it is good to see it. But I just think it's kind of almost like a stop-start thing, like we start tomorrow, and then it kind of, it doesn't really come on my radar properly until the Craven meeting, which of course, what, another like three weeks on. But no, good to see it back, and it's a very competitive card at Doncaster tomorrow. It is a great card. I would think Doncaster is quite a fair track.
Yeah.
And so I think we will get some sort of very, very, very good racing there tomorrow.
No, I would agree with that. But I know what you mean when you say it's sort of the flat season starts and then just sort of stutters, doesn't it? It doesn't.
Yeah,
it doesn't, I mean, sweep back. It just sort of gradually.
Yeah.
You know,
it's kind of like if you look at Ireland. So obviously they kicked off with the Curra last Sunday, and then, you know, straight away this Sunday in Leopardstown they've got a fantastic Guinness trial meeting. Whereas we have the Lincoln, and then, you know, then everything sort of reverts back to jumps mode for the Aintree meeting, and it's kind of still quiet, still just bubbling under really until the Craven meeting at Newmarket. So I tend not to really kind of get my head into flat mode until another 3 weeks. So I've had to sort of get in a little bit early this year. We're doing the Lincoln preview.
Yeah, yeah. But as you said, it is a card that, I mean, I love the Brocklesby, the first race on the card. Purely because
I listened to your podcast yesterday and heard you say that. Yeah.
But it's just because it's just so different to everything that we've been used to for the last 6 months. You know,
yeah.
And it's potentially bedlam because you've got 19 unraced horses who will be at, you know, various different degrees and levels of being ready, if you like.
Yeah.
But I like the fact that you can just basically back trainers blind in that race. You know, I mean, it's certainly not a race that you want to be punting big in by any means, but I think as the opener to a card and as the opener to the flat season, I think it's very appropriate, if you like.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. I think especially a bit like the cards in the Curra last Sunday and probably this card in Doncaster, very, very competitive fare, and it's almost one that you can start to get the notebook out. And you'll sort of look back through the season and think, oh, you know, that caught my eye there, that caught my eye there. It's a bit like the start of the National Hunt season, isn't it? When you kind of, you know, the fresh notebook comes out, you're ready to scribble on that blank page.
Yeah, no, it is. And often that you'll see with horses that do run in the Brocklesby, wherever they finish in that race, the form seems to work out pretty well eventually because they're on the go so early. They run so often through the season. You know that they're pretty forward. And I think if you're back in the I'm trying to figure out how to phrase this, if you are backing a horse that ran in the Brocklesby second time out, I think that you'll probably make money if you just back them blind, because they have that racecourse experience. They'll be running again in another race in a couple of weeks, against horses without that experience, you know, and I think at this stage of the season, it's crucial.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I think tomorrow is great. Obviously, you know, you've got something for everyone tomorrow. You've obviously got the big meeting in Maidan. You've got the start of the flat. The flat people are going to be buzzing for that. And then, of course, you've got a jumps meeting at Ascot to keep your diehard National Hunt fans happy. I think it is great right across the sort of country and beyond tomorrow, and a good meeting in Navan as well across in Ireland.
Mm. Nope, absolutely. Could not agree more with that. So, right, we're going to look at three races, and we'll kick off with the 240. It's the William Hill Bet on the Move Camage Trophy, listed event over 6 furlongs. 10 runners down to go to post for this one, and pretty interesting. I mean, in a lot of the races in the three races that we're going to look at, a lot will depend not on perhaps who the best horse is, but which horse can run well after a break. And in this race, every single horse is coming back from at least a 140-day layoff. So it may be a bit of a tricky one to call, this. Which one do you fancy?
It is a tricky one to call. So I've kind of... I mean, for a start, you've got three previous winners in the race. You've got Jack Dex, obviously won it last year. Jimmy Styles won the race in 2011, and Exile in 2010. I think maybe in Exile and Jimmy Styles are kind of coming into their twilight years now. So for those reasons alone, you could maybe, even though they're still performing with credit, you could still sort of just maybe sort of overlook them slightly. Jack Dexter does interest me. Obviously, he won this off 102 last year. He's 114 now. If you look at what he actually did last year, so he was just beaten a length and three quarters, I believe, in the King Stand at Ascot. Won the Group 3 at Newcastle, third in the Air Gold Cup, second in the British Champions Sprint. And then he finished the season off with beating the Air Gold Cup winner in the Wentworth over six, obviously, at Doncaster. I think he's very, very versatile with regards to the ground. Obviously, he's slightly drawn in the middle here, but what we said at the beginning about Doncaster being quite a fair track, I'm not too troubled about that. And if you sort of... The two that really kind of catch my eye, other than Jack Dexter, would be Richard Vahe's colt there, Heaven's Guest. Obviously, Richard Vahe's been in reasonable form on the old weather. He's also third in the Air Gold Cup as a three-year-old. Drawn eight. Won the Heritage Handicap at Newmarket July meeting, beating New Movie Star. And then the Heritage Handicap at Ascot as well. 94 when he won at Newmarket, won the Heritage Handicap off 100. I just wonder if, when he finished off last season, obviously the ground at Ascot on British Champions Day was officially reported as soft, but I think pretty much it was heavy. I mean, I was actually watching Ascot from the first meeting at Cheltenham, and sort of, you know, they were kind of going through it a bit like a ploughed field, and we all know that when it gets heavy at Ascot, it really does get heavy. So he does interest me, but there is rain falling at Doncaster, isn't it, Alex?
Yeah, I mean, I'm in Leeds, and it's looking a little dreary today, I think it's fair to say. And of course we've lost one in the Lincoln, haven't we? Clearly it's bad enough for connections to think about pulling the horses out if they are averse to softer conditions.
Yeah, so I am, even though Heaven's Guest has previously won on soft, I'm just a bit worried about it going past the soft marker. But Heaven's Guest is actually a horse that is on my very tentative early list of horses to follow for the 2014 turf season. But I think with regards to a selection, I'll probably go with Maureen. Obviously, you've got the Hannon stable in relatively good form, two winners on the all-weather last weekend, six in both the English and Irish guineas, won the Group 3 Judgment Stakes at Ascot as a two-year-old, drops back to 6 furlongs here, and I believe the last time she ran over six was, I'm just going to have a quick look, make sure I've got this right, was actually in her two-year-old days. The last filly to win, I think, was Gold Eva, if I'm correctly, drawn against the rail, which I know we've said that the draw isn't too much of a concern at Doncaster, but I just think with the filly's allowance, given her class that she was running very well in group company last year, I think she's the one to be on.
Okay, Maureen the pick in the Camage Trophy. Certainly a horse I like. Followed her last year, and I don't think it's fair to say she went off the boil. She just didn't get her head in front in the later stage of the season, but... Hasn't really run a bad race, really.
No, she didn't. If you look at, if you sort of look at the company she was keeping, and sort of, I mean,
and you look how far she was beaten as well. It's not, not. I mean, five and a bit lengths to Sky Lantern. That's not a, you know, nothing wrong with that at least.
And only beaten, was it 2.5 in the Guineas, and then Sky Lantern beat a 5 and a bit at Ascot. You know, the horses that she was coming about, and the company she was keeping. Possibly when she sort of just went to Newmarket at the end of the season, she was possibly in the listed race, just possibly had a little bit too much of the season, but still performed with credit in fourth. So, yeah, I think, you know, she has to sort of, I mean, you know, Jack Dexter's got to give her 10. Heaven's Guest has been very keen on, he's got to give her 5. I just think everything's kind of pointing to her, really.
Okay, then. Right. So, Maureen the pick in the Camage Trophy. Next up, oh, actually, we do have some prices for them. I'll just spin you through them. 9-4 Jack Dexter, 5-2 Tropics, 11-2 for Maureen, 10s for Captain Ramius and Heaven's Guest, and 11s are bigger than the rest. So that's at the time of recording anyway, but Maureen could represent a bit of an each-way steal there at 11-2. Okay, next up is the William Hill Spring Mile coming up at 3:15. A mile, the trip for this one. 22 runners down to go to post. Let's just run you through the betting for this one. At the time of recording, we are 7-1 the field, Gwarn heading the market, 15-2 for Dance and Dance, 10s for Boots and Spurs, Bray Hill and Televoy, 12s for Dreamwalker, Farlow and Global Village, and 16s or bigger the rest. But this is the kind of race where you wouldn't be surprised if anything can get competitive. Very, very competitive race. Where should we start with this one?
I think, sort of, when I was first looking at this race, I thought, oh, my God. And then going back over the history of it, it's a type of race that can throw up a shock. Obviously, you have 50-1 winners in the past. And I like one of the favourites. And I also like an outsider. So if I start with Gwarn, even though he's not a selection of mine, but I think he was very unlucky when he was beaten over course and distance in May of last year. He got stopped in running twice. Bray Hill, obviously, former Lincoln winner, and was third in 2013. He's on the mark of 91 now. I think given his love of Doncaster, he's going to have to go pretty close. Again, like I say, Alex, we could go through every runner in this and make we could sit here and go for 22 runners and make a positive case for everything. One I actually like it at a price, and I don't know if I'm being completely barking here, but you know when you keep going over a horse and you keep going back and you're having a look and it's still catching your eye, it would be Showboating for the Alan McCabe stable. Now, two runs on the all-weather, previously run on the all-weather before in the close season. He did turf form last season, and he struck up a nice partnership with Sean Levy last year. Tom Creeley obviously takes him out here, was on him at Southall the last time. It just runs in the tongue tie and the pieces, which is completely normal for him. Two wins at Catterick last season on the turf in heavy ground. The ground does seem to be going that way. It seems also pretty versatile in regards to ground. When you look back through his form figures, you could say that they are inconsistent, but there are sort of bits and pieces of ability in there. And it just, given the nature of this race and that you're probably looking at least with something in double figures prizes hitting the frame, it just wouldn't surprise me. I think I have to give Silvery Moon a positive mention as well. Obviously won the Carlisle Bell last summer. That was off a mark of 85. It's only up to a mark of 89 now. That just wouldn't surprise me. Obviously, he's got a form around Doncaster as well. I think this is a very, very, very hard race. Certainly, it could be a bit of a punting minefield. I'm not sure that I would be getting that much involved. But if I do, I will be with Bray Hill, first of all, purely because on his known Doncaster form, he has to go close, and Showboating just because I think he's very, very interesting. And the fact that Tom Creeley is actually sticking with him after he's third at Southall, I mean, you can't really call that a very much of an encouragement, but the fact that he's actually stuck with him.
Okay, Bray Hill, certainly one I'm interested in there as well. Just because the same kind of horses always seem to crop up in these early season races, don't they?
Yeah.
So, yeah, and another one I'm interested in just down at the bottom is Your Art Is On Fire.
Yeah.
I just think that off bottom weight, that's one that might be worth a look. And I mean, the forecast prices, what have we got here? It's 33-1 at the time of recording, so I think there's probably worse horses that you could put 50 pence each way on. But as you said, you can make a case for so many. But for you, it will be Bray Hill and Showboating.
Bray Hill with a leech way on Showboating.
Okay, lovely. The final race that we'll look at is the 350 from Doncaster. It is, of course, the William Hill Lincoln, a Heritage Handicap over a mile. 22 runners going to post for this one. And this is no easier than the Spring Mile. 13-2 the field. Gabriel's Kaka and Off Art 13-2. 7-1 for Tullius. Levitate and Whispering Warrior 11s. 12s for Sweet Lightning. 14s or bigger the rest. Of course, I said that there's 22 going to post. Of course, we already know that Captain Cat and Bronze Angel are non-runners, as is Norse Blues, so we're already down to 19. Let's hope that we can keep 16 in there, because this we'd quite like four places. I think I need four places in this one. Very, very competitive once again. Interesting to see two runners here who run with penalties, Chucky Royale and Whispering Warrior. Both fresh off impressive wins on the all weather, and although they'd need to transfer that form to the turf, they are arriving here banging form, aren't they?
Absolutely, they're banging form. And again, you're kind of almost really, along with everything that you know, you're almost looking for, like I said before, stables that have been in form on the all weather. And with that in mind, I mean, there's been some amount of money sort of around for Tullius, really. Stable absolutely on fire. Ashley Murphy, I mean, he's the boy wonder, isn't he? I mean, I was in awe last season, really, of what I was seeing from such a young apprentice jockey. See, he wintered in Australia. He's back now with the Boulding stable. I think I wouldn't be surprised if by tomorrow you're looking at maybe Tullius going off clear favourite. So he's dropped £3 at the start of last season. I think there was an injury that kept him off from August 2012 to October 2013. Third enlisted race at Newmarket in November. And he won a handicap at the Guinness meeting in 2012, won two more handicaps after that before he went into different company, returns to handicap company here off a mark of 109. Last handicap win was 108. Obviously, Ashton takes the £3 off. I just think it's almost like there's a big red arrow pointing to Tullius. He's drawn against the rail. Obviously, I know we've said before that, you know, it doesn't make that much of a difference at Donny, but it certainly helps. And also, I've noticed our boss, Ben, tweeting a lot about Sweet Lightning.
Mm. Yes, he has
and
been.
I have to say, I completely agree with him. Especially, I noticed one of his tweets last night, obviously, that he went off favourite to beat Declaration of War around this time last year. Obviously, previous winner of the race in 2011, now in the care of David O'Mara, we all know what he can do. Spent some time in Medan since then. So he's previous winner of this. He also won the Irish Lincolnshire down £2 since his last win. I think he won the Irish Lincolnshire off 100. He's on 98 here. Tongue ties back on. That was actually off the last twice. When he went off favourite to beat Declaration of War, he was on a mark of 112. I think there's still life left in the old boy, definitely. And what price is he with you, Alex?
Sweet Lightning is 12s at the minute.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see Sweet Lightning finishing in the money at all. I think that's almost, it's so hard to be confident, isn't it, in a race of this nature, but there just seems to be an awful lot of positives for Tullius and an awful lot of positives for Sweet Lightning. When I saw Ben tweeting about him, I thought, I must give Ben a mention on the pod and Sweet Lightning a mention. Horse, I think, is fairly interesting. You wouldn't really know what direction they are going to take with him this season. And that is Unsinkable of John Joe O'Neill. Obviously, everything went wrong for him on the first start for John Joe O'Neill at Lingfield. It was an absolute disaster. He got very, very upset in the stalls. He put the hood on with Richard Fahey before, two wins over six. I'm just looking to see. I wonder what this horse's campaign is is going to be one I'll be watching very closely tomorrow. And I think there's been a bit of money around for off-art, isn't there? There's from the Easterby stable, obviously train and reform. I was like the spring mar, Alex. An awful lot could sit here and go through the whole 19 that are left and make cases for every single one of them. But there does seem to be an awful lot more positives for Tullius and Sweet Lightning.
Okay, so Tullius and Sweet Lightning against the field in the Lincoln. I'll throw three in the mix. So between us, we've got almost half the field. I think Whispering Warrior would be my main pick in this one. Can't get away from that. And at bigger prices, I think Spar's Dancer is one to consider. Again, at a big price. And so is Mezzotint. But all three of those are drawn low. And in a race like this, I'd quite like to have one on either side, if you like, in an ideal world. I mean, you've mentioned Tullius and Sweet Lightning. They're both drawn high. So, you know, you're going to get a difference of opinion. Yeah, it's one of those things, isn't it? You can't always have it your own way, if you like. You can't decide where your horse is drawn. But, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me as well if Tullius was to run up that rail, as you mentioned, under Ashin Murphy. So very, very open race, as they all are on Lincoln Day.
Yeah. I was scrambling around last night trying to find some information why Off Art had been off the track for so long. She stepped up to a mile in June of last year. And then this is sort of his first run back. I don't know if he maybe met an injury or what have you, really. But he definitely, I am interested in his chances. Do you know anything about Max?
No, I don't. I think he's a very, very interesting runner here, purely because Tim Easterby isn't one who would usually keep his horses off for that long anyway.
Yes.
And also, with all due respect to Tim Easterby, he's not one to rack up a sequence, if you like, with his horses. He just keeps them going, and then when they're well handicapped, they win in turn.
Yeah.
But the style of this win at Ayr last time out was pretty taken. So, yeah, I must confess, I don't know if there has been a problem with that one. But
yeah.
Again, it's one of those ones off bottom weight. I think if it was with a more fashionable yard, this would be getting backed off the boards.
Yeah, he just. I watched that run last night, and I just literally, and I even sort of texted a couple of people and said, "Do you know anything why Off Art's been off the track for so long?" And nobody really seemed to know. So a bit of a mystery, but yeah, it's all right. We'll go three against the field each then. So yeah,
okay.
My main pick is Tullius, but Sweet Lightning and Off Art.
Okay. Could you just spin us through your picks, however many you've got, in all three contests at Doncaster, please?
Yeah, absolutely, Alex. So in the Camage, I think that we might be seeing, if Heavy Ground was to prevail tomorrow, we think that might go a little bit against Heaven's Guest, but he is a horse that interests me greatly. But my main pick is going to be Maureen. In the Spring Mile, I'm going to go with Brayhill as my main selection, and a tentative each way on Showboating, just because it just keeps catching my eye, and just I think the return to turf is going to do him an awful lot of favours. In the Lincoln, well, why not? Let's throw three. Main selection, Tullius, for all the reasons stated. Sweet Lightning, in agreement with Ben, and Off Art, just because it's intriguing.
Yeah, that's fair. And it's always best to agree with the boss, isn't it? Let's be honest. Let's be honest, it makes sense. So thank you very much for your time, Catherine. Best of luck with those selections, and enjoy all the action on Saturday, and we'll catch up soon.
Thanks.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.